This is a replay of the Thursday night, August 15th, WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, and unless sports preempt us, that's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number's from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James with 3 hours to spend together. Plenty on my mind, nothing of importance. But John came in and said, you know, they're lining up ahead of time. Rita from Harwood Heights called, so get to her right away. And indeed, I will. So opening the show is Rita in Harwood Heights. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. How are you doing tonight?
I'm all right. How about yourself?
A little short of breath because of this humidity.
Oh.
But I'm getting along.
Oh, I hate humidity.
It's awful humid here in Harwood Heights.
Yeah.
But anyway, I wanted to comment about, you know, people, you ended the show last night with people talking about sciatica and health clubs. And I had sciatica very, very badly to the point I was screaming with pain. And I would go into the pain center over here at Resurrection, and they would try to inject me, but they always got the wrong place.
Oh, God.
But the thing that really helped me was when my attending doctor told me of this elderly man who was going to be retiring. He was a neurosurgeon, and he would be willing to do an EMG on me. Well, it was with needles, so that just kind of freaked me out, but I thought, I have to have the pain relieved. So I had this EMG done. He located the exact spot, and I went back to the pain center with the results, and then they injected me. And they got the right spot this time.
Oh, wow.
And I have not had anything, and that was about, I would say, probably 12 years ago.
Wow, and it never came back?
No, no.
Wow.
I have permanent back problems because I, in my job, I had been kicked, got a karate kick from a patient who was alcoholic, and we were trying to put him down, but anyway, so I have a permanent neck problem. I had neurosurgery, but it didn't take.
I hate to hear that.
I didn't have too much faith in that, but having an EMG located the spot, and then getting it injected was like a miracle.
It sure sounds it, and it sounds like the retiring guy really knew what he was doing, because normally it's in two parts. The first step, they do the nerve conduction, where it measures electricity through your nerves, and then they do that needling, which captures and records the signals, supposedly, that will guide you to where it is. But I think there's probably also an art in it, in the individual who's doing it.
Right. He had let all of his office staff go because he was closing his office. And his wife was there assisting him, and she held my hand because that's uncomfortable to have that test done. But it had to be done. I couldn't take the pain anymore.
It worked, and that's the best part of all.
And then Resurrection had a health fitness center and with a nice pool. And they had just resurfaced the pool and everything. Mm-hmm. And doctors used to come down from the offices and use that in the morning. And then physical therapy used it for a while. And then the rest of us, anybody who wanted to join the club, could.
That's nice.
So I did. But then with the pandemic, they closed all that.
Oh, and have they opened it again? Or are they considering opening?
No, because, you know, Resurrection has been taken over again. They were called Resurrection, then they were called Ascension. And now they're going to be called something else because somebody else bought them out. So I don't know when that if they're ever going to open that again. Oh. But it's sitting there, beautiful pool, exercise room, and everything. And but they did at the end. I know what before it did close, they were making the water more cold. I couldn't get into it because it was making my legs go numb.
Oh, of course, yeah.
No, if I use the spa.
Right, right. You'd want it to be heated, of course. Yeah, Prime Healthcare did an asset purchase that includes Ascension. And I don't know much about Prime Healthcare, so but they're at the heart of what you're dealing with.
Right, and they're buying up all of the Ascension hospitals. From here to Elgin.
Yeah, and I think a number of others as well. Well, you know, we talk about this all the time, the contraction. It seems like it doesn't matter if it's radio stations or grocery stores or in this case, hospitals. Eventually, I think we'll have two owners. It's very frightening.
Yeah. But here sits that wonderful pool and spa and everything. Yeah. And they had just had it resurfaced. So it was really a good, clean area.
Wow.
Yeah, it's sad that it... And I thought some of your people, they've been calling in, and my heart was going out to them because they're in pain. They've got to have some kind of relief.
Yeah.
And a lot of the hospitals do have a pain center.
Right.
Connect. Yeah.
Right. And that, so that there again, when you get somebody who's really gifted and talented and wants to be involved, it's just a miracle. And on the other hand, if they're, you know, just basically shove a couple pills down your throat and forget it, well, you know, you are what you got. So it's a really a key of finding out who your provider is wherever you're going to go.
Right. But also, you know, some of us were medical. I'm a nurse.
Uh-huh.
I have been a nurse for many years. But not everybody who uses the pool is a nurse.
Of course.
And I had one lady that came over and was using the pool one day. I knew that she was a diabetic.
Right.
And she had gotten out of only in the pool for a short time. She got out of the pool and was in the locker room.
Uh-huh.
And by the time I got my shower and went into the locker room, she was still there and she was kind of fumbling around.
Uh-huh.
And I said, Mary, you know, what's the matter? Are you okay? And I asked the other ladies in the other dressing room, I said, how long has she been sitting here? She should have been gone back to the nursing home by now. And they didn't even recognize that she was there.
Oh, geez.
And so I started asking her questions, and we ended up calling a code because she was going into diabetic shock.
Oh, my God.
So,
well, glad you know that.
And it was just her daughter. Her daughter told me I was a lifesaver. But if I hadn't been there, she probably would have, you know, not made it. Because she was really, nobody noticed her. She was among a bunch of people in there.
Right.
Nobody really paid attention to her. So.
Right. I'm afraid it's an all too common story.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, luckily you were there.
Yeah.
Now, how are you feeling now?
Well, I have pain every day. And medication doesn't help. And I've been wanting to get into a pool again.
Yeah.
I was looking at the Niles Center has a fitness center.
Uh-huh.
But again, their pool is cold water.
No, you need something that's going to be heated.
Right. Yeah. So I've got to keep searching and find someplace. I don't know where, but I've got to get to someplace. Maybe Lutheran General. I know they have another. Lutheran General Hospital has a fitness center as well. So I'll have to check over there and see what theirs is like.
Yeah, I would. I'd also check, because you're in Chicago, a lot of hotels have heated indoor pools. See if anybody would be able to, do kind of a fitness thing where you could pay to use it.
Oh, I didn't realize about the hotels.
Yeah, a lot of them do. You know, if you were in Florida or Arizona, most of it's outdoors. But in Illinois, a lot of indoor pools. So, something to consider anyway. I don't know. So in my experience, some hotels in the past have had programs where people could join and use the facilities, and others didn't. So you kind of have to check individually. But I wouldn't rule it out. There might be something near you that might work.
Yeah, something, because I used to be 5'3", and now I'm about 4'10" and a half.
Unfortunately,
my spine keeps collapsing.
Right. That's all of us. The older you get, the shorter you get. It's sort of the standard thing. But, you know, the problem isn't that you're shorter. The problem is when you're in pain. And you're so right that exercising and a bit of light physical therapy makes a world of difference.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. Good luck.
But it didn't work. Physical therapy didn't work before I got that injection from that neurosurgeon.
Right. It wouldn't work on the sciatica, but it might work on whatever you're currently dealing with.
Right, yeah.
It's worth checking because if you get a referral, it might be covered. I assume you're Medicare and have some type of a supplement, so it might be fully covered.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, I'm sure it would be. Yeah, so, I got a good plan.
Right. Well, so check that out because some of those physical therapy places have heated pools.
Yeah.
Okay. So check it out.
I just wanted to tell you that, you know, you've got to be a saint. Raleigh, you have such patience. Who in this world would have accepted a guy who sends his tooth?
Oh, you know, Johnny D. Yes, I've got the picture of the tooth. Yes. Yeah, but I don't know.
Lordy.
I'm still voting for him to get a little holding place there, some type of a bridge. I don't think he realizes how easily the rest of them will move. He'll find out. Yeah.
But what if he has to go through having all of his teeth removed for dentures?
Let's hope not. But that's why I said when he said they mentioned there might be an infection, I said, man, I'd check that out. You know, because you want to stop that before you've got a big problem.
Right.
Yeah.
I had an implant for a while, and the darn thing kept coming out, so I just said, forget it. I don't need it.
Well, you know, for some people...
It's just a hole there.
Right. For some people, it's a godsend, and other people do reject them. There's no doubt about it. You don't hear about those stories so much because there's so much advertising for what's available now, but there are certainly unintended consequences with a percentage of people.
Yeah.
But, you know, other than an implant, there's always a good old bridge, the old-fashioned way.
Yes, right.
You know, if it's
a lot of people have those.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Get yourself a floss threader and you're good to go. All right. Well, thanks for calling and keep me posted. I want to know if you find the pool of your dreams.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks. Appreciate
it. You have a good night.
You too. Yeah, I hate it when there's something that's just perfect and it's lying fallow. And, you can read all about Prime if you want. I'm not going to go into that, but, you know, you can read their whole history and what they got. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888-Raleigh. And we'll get to Cindy in Chicago, and there's room for you, too, on WGN Radio.
If you want some loving, babe, that I'll give to you. Some hugging now. Well, I can hug some too.
Sunset Strip, especially the Whiskey A Go-Go, where for a while Smokestack Lightning was a house band. They were signed to Bell, and Bell turned them over to Bones Howe, who produced them, and got the Blossoms to do backup. Smart move. Ike Turner wrote that, of course, I Idolize You. It was Brian and Joliet who requested that. It's a B-side, actually. The A-side was a remake of Etta, Something's Got a Hold on Me. So there you have I Idolize You. So now David in Chicago has some advice for Rita. All right. So, David, you know all about pools. What do you know?
I don't know all about pools, but I was just going to say that I've worked for... I was a building engineer for a large, what do you call that, a large healthcare facility in Chicago.
Okay.
And I know that I think that that they do have health care, not health care, but what I'm going to say is deals on fitness centers and stuff like that that do have, you know, like pools and stuff like that. Like there's Lifetime or, you know, I'm not saying, you know, brand names or whatever.
Right.
But
right.
I'm just trying to say, but yeah, maybe tell her to look out for that. And that's all, you know, that's basically all I have to say about that. You know, I'm
good.
Keeping it simple. So yeah.
Good. Well, I'm glad you called, David. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. I'm sorry if I'm no information for her. It's okay. If not, then I hope I helped her.
Well, yeah, it's another avenue, and I think she should seek it. Who knows what's going on anymore? You know, like she said, Prime's
yeah.
taking over Ascension. It's changing by the day, but maybe she'll find a great deal, and thank you.
Right, and I live in her area, too, so it's like, yeah, it's all confusing. Insurance is all nuts.
Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, man. Isn't that the truth? All right. Thanks.
Yep.
Appreciate it.
You have a good evening.
You too.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah. And I don't think it'll be getting much better either. So every now and then I say to myself, I'm glad I'm old. All right. So 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, I've told John many times, do not take me to the hospital if there's a problem. Just drop me off at the vet's. Yeah, I'll take my chances standing in line behind the cow. So we'll get to Cindy and to Laura and to you too coming up. But first we'll get to the news right here on WGN Radio.
It happened on one of them zippity-doo-dah days. Now, that's the kind of day when you can't open your mouth without a song jump right out of it. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-ay. My, oh, my, what a wonderful day. Plenty of sunshine heading my way. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-ay. Mr. Bluebird's on my shoulder. It's the truth. It's actual. Everything is satisfactual. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-ay. Wonderful feeling, wonderful day. Yes, sir. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-ay. My, oh, my, what a wonderful day.
Oh, plenty of sunshine in my way.
Mr. Bluebird,
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That, of course, is James Baskett, and it was Debbie and Raleigh who wanted to hear "Zippity Doo Dah." James Baskett, of course, short life. He only made it to about 44, but did a lot, including about the year before he died, he was in Revenge of the Zombies. But, of course, he portrayed Uncle Remus singing Zippity Doo Dah. And, yeah, I don't think about that song often. I really don't think about it when I think about, Phil Spector. But, of course, he made the mistake of recording it with Bobby Sox and the Blue Jeans. You might remember it. Alrighty then, yes, 1962 on Phyllis, and his label was Lester Sill, and Bobby Sox and the Blue Jeans was Bobby Sheen, who was just terrific, but he didn't do lead on that. In fact, I'm not even sure he's in the background, but nonetheless, it actually charted, which probably says a lot. I know for decades, Mitch Miller said that the existence of rock and roll proved the practice of payola. I don't agree with that at all, but when I hear things like Zippity Doo Dah and realize they actually got on radio stations, I do start to wonder. So we've got, Jeff in Beloit, who's got pain help. So, all right, Jeff, let's hear it.
Okay, years ago, I was about 30, and I was having problems with sciatica. I had gone to the chiropractor, and he took x-rays and he said, yeah, you got a problem between your L4 and L5 vertebrae. And my leg kept on going numb from my buttock down to my toe. And, well, it got real bad one time. And I missed like a week's worth of work. And I drive to the chiropractor's office.
Right.
And I open the door and he sees me because he's getting out from lunch. And he sees me picking up my legs and putting them down. And I, mind you, I'm 30 years old.
Right.
And I'm crawling. I get out of the car and I crawl to the back of the car and I stand up and I walk in there. And, you know, I'd seen him a few times. And as I said, he's already given me an x-ray. And he said, there's no damage other than a pinch. And so he said, he cracked me and he said, you might be able to sleep tonight. He goes, I can see you're in a tremendous amount of pain. So he said, come on back in a couple days or tomorrow or whatever it was. And I said, you know, I can't keep doing that because it's just, I don't have insurance. I don't have the money. And he was a really nice guy. And he said, man, I can see you're hurting really bad. He goes, I'll tell you what. He goes, I'm going to give you a tip. He says, you take a towel, like a 2x4 towel, and you roll it up. And then what you do is when you're laying flat on your back, you slide it under that spot, the L4 and L5, which is right above your rear end. And he said, stand there as long as you can, and then you'll get some relief. You'll be able to sleep. And so I did that, and I did it like, probably 10 minutes, and it hurt. It was very uncomfortable.
Right.
And I find out that, it happened like 10 years later, but I took some like ibuprofen or something to relax my back. And I tell you, within a day or two, I was laying on a couch and I flipped over and I heard something crack or pop. And I'm like, oh my word, I think my spine just broke in half.
Might have been the best thing that happened.
It was. It was absolutely that. It fell back into place.
Yeah.
And so, the pain was gone. I didn't spend any more money on going back to see him. I mean, it's a secret that he probably shouldn't tell people. You lose a lot of money that way. I mean, if everybody did that, instead of going to the doctor like this gal that he was talking to earlier, and they either want to operate or, shoot you up with something, this is such a simple fix. And then I saw my boss one time. He's like, he had the same problem. He was talking about he's going to the chiropractor, and then he's talking about going to a doctor. And I said, try this with a towel. And I said, take an ibuprofen. And he tried it, and he said he fell asleep on the towel.
Now, wow.
I find it kind of hard to believe because I was in such pain, I couldn't do it.
Right.
But he never had to go back to the chiropractor.
That's great. So now, where exactly do you put the towel?
Okay, so you got the end of the towel on both sides of you.
Yeah.
It's perpendicular to you, and you put it right above your buttock. You'll know it's an uncomfortable position.
Okay.
And then it kind of raises it up, and then you'll feel it take the pressure off of it. But, because you're sitting there and you're wanting to twist. Oh, the other thing, too, that helped out is you first think about raising your feet because, it's a painful situation.
Yeah.
Then you raise one at a time and then both of your feet, and you move that back and forth, and you try to loosen up the muscles. And when that happens, it'll go back into place. And, I can't thank that doctor enough. I've talked to 2-3 people that have that problem.
Okay, so now, how big a towel?
Oh, just the bath towel.
Okay, a regular bath towel, and you just roll it up.
Right. So you're talking about a little bit bigger than your fist.
All right.
And then you just lay on it.
Right.
And you're laying on your back, and it's across
right.
you. You should get relief the next day.
Wow.
And that night. So, what a tip to tell you. And, as I said, I couldn't pay the guy to keep coming back, and so he gave me that tip.
Wow.
So.
Wow, that's great. Well, and it sounds like somebody can try that without too much worry. They'll know right away if there's a big problem, and if not, maybe it'll be helpful.
Right. When I tried to back up and say, the guy had already x-rayed me.
Right.
So he knew there wasn't damage or anything broken.
Right.
Now, if somebody's like been in a car accident or something like that, you know, you got to use your own discretion.
Well, yeah, all bets are off. But if it's been determined it's just chronic sciatica, and yeah, why not try it?
Oh, I mean, people go in for a doctor's visit and use up your insurance, and then that's all on record. And, you know, it's just a simple thing you can try in one night. So
all right.
It's beautiful.
Well, thanks for the tip. I appreciate the call, Jeff.
Thank you, Raleigh. Have a good day.
You too. 888-876-5593. We'll get to Laura. We'll get to Cindy. We'll get to you on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and if it's on your mind, I'll make sure it's on mine. And Laura's been waiting for a while to make a request, and I want to hear what it is. So, hello, Laura. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Thanks, Raleigh. Glad to hear you again.
Yeah.
Well, first, I have a request, and whether you choose to play it, that's up to you, because I know that type of music's not necessarily your style.
Well, I just played Huey Lewis, and that was for Johnny D, who requested that. So I'll go pretty far. I played that, but from sports, of course, on Chrysalis, 1984. But what is it you want to hear?
Okay. Well, I first have a request, and then I want to talk about Ghost Singers. My request is Tonight from West Side Story, if you're not a fan of that, anything from West Side Story. Otherwise, just any. If you don't like any of that, that's okay, too.
I don't think I've got any of that. I guess I can look on YouTube, because it's so outside of anything I would normally listen to. I don't even have it on a drive. But
no problem.
I'll look around.
I'll
look around for you.
Okay. It covers my subject. Can I get on my soapbox for a minute?
Oh, yeah. Step right up.
Okay. Well, I recently found out in the last few years about ghost singers, which I'm still on the fence about. I'm not really a fan.
What are they?
But I was looking up, use the example of West Side Story. The main people in the show are not the singers. The ones like Natalie Wood, she doesn't sing.
Oh, yeah, no. Well,
Rita Moreno, she doesn't sing. I never heard of this. When I found out,
that's always the way.
It still changes my thinking.
No, that's always been the
really?
Way. Yes, yes. I don't ever think about it as ghost singers, but sure, there's a lot of fine singers who have made their entire career doing the vocals for stars. Rarely do you see it.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, well, like, when I was thinking, it's like, well, when I was thinking of Sound of Music the other day, I was like, okay, Christopher Plummer, I don't think he was a big star, so like, why don't they just hire somebody that can sing and have him on screen?
It's a different skill. Because you can sing, you might not know how to act.
Oh. Okay.
You know, actually, it's harder to find. It's truly harder to find a good actor or actress for a role than it is to find somebody to sing behind them.
Okay. Well, okay. Now, what do you think of this? I didn't realize that A Side Story won the Best Picture of the Year for Academy Awards. And Rita Moreno won for, I want to say, Best Supporting Actress
which she was a great dancer, and I thought she was a great singer until I found out she didn't sing a note. Like,
She didn't win for singing.
Oh,
see,
okay.
Again, think about what that award was.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, she was great acting and dancing.
Yeah, so she wasn't, wasn't in any way winning because she could or couldn't sing.
Okay. Well, thank you. You cleared my mind. It's like I had no idea. It makes me I still love these movies and the songs, but it's just got me thinking now. It's like, darn it, I didn't know that.
Well, it's usually the way. And
I feel like I was kind of taken or something, you know? They didn't tell us.
But you weren't. It's not as if she got a Grammy Award for vocal performance, you know? It's
true.
She won true. As That's Best true. Actress in a Supporting Role, and that has That's nothing true. To do with whether she could sing a note.
That's true. Okay. Well, thank you for clearing that up. I really appreciate it.
Oh, sure.
And, you have a great show as always.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate it. All right. I'm trying to think of which gal in Jamboree. It was, I always call it the world's first payola movie because it featured so many disc jockeys getting a shot at it because allegedly it was this telethon that was going all around. And in each market, there were different disc jockeys on there. And so Jamboree, it was an interesting movie all the way around. Unfortunately, it was a Dick Clark production. But that was the interesting thing because the gal who was the star of it and who was supposedly the singer was absolutely not the case. And I forget who it was who sang for her. I almost want to say it was Connie Francis, but I doubt it. I'll have to look that up and see who sang for her because it absolutely was not the case. And there were some great character actors in that that movie as well. And Neil Hefti did the music, and, as far as I'm concerned, he can do no wrong. And, I'm trying to think of who it might have been. I was just looking online, and, of course, it tells me all the people who did all the hits. Yeah, we know that. That's not what I want to know, is who was the stand-in. Well, Connie Francis was in it, but I don't know if she did all the singing in that or not. I'll look for it, and I'll find it. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. Cindy is in Chicago. What's up tonight, Cindy?
Okay, well, I have maybe four things to bring up, but anyhow, for Ruth, she may not have to drive all the way to Lutheran General. She may be able to go to Melrose Park at Gottlieb Hospital if their pool is still open in Triton College on across from the campus, across from Fifth Avenue East. There's by the baseball field. There's a pool there. And she, made me remember, maybe I would join water aerobics for continuing education. I've done that before at Triton. That's pretty good.
Okay.
And then, for me, if I wanted to join a health club, I just thought of it. I could just do my medical intern, get that free.
Okay.
I forgot about that. So maybe, she wouldn't have to drive all the way to Lutheran General. It's kind of far from our neighborhood. So, but Gottlieb, if it's still open, and then where I went to college at Concordia Lutheran College, they used to have such a beautiful pool, but I think they closed it for the liability.
Yeah, I'm afraid there's been a lot of that, and that's exactly what she's been running into.
Yeah, and then the other thing was that song, A White Sport Coat and a Pink Carnation. My boyfriend Chuck used to play that song. So I knew that song.
A lot of people would have played it since it was a very big hit.
Yeah, I like that song. That was so. And then your song that you played, Zippity Doo Dah. My mother used to sing that, and there was another song she used to sing before she got sick, when we were, before the bad times, when I was a little girl, she used to sing this song. I don't know all the, I just know a few of the words.
it was something, I'm going to buy a paper dolly and I'm going to call it my own, a doll that other fellas won't steal.
Yeah.
I don't know, it must have come out in the 40s.
Yeah, I probably have that actually.
I don't remember the whole song.
I'm going to buy a paper dolly that I can call my own, a doll that other fellows cannot steal. Yeah. And then the flirty, flirty guys with their flirty, flirty eyes will have to flirt with dollies that are real. That was the Mills Brothers, Paper Doll. Hang on a minute. Don't go away. And by the way, it was Connie Francis who did all the lip syncing in the movie Jamboree. So there. Kay Medford was my favorite actress in that, by the way. But no, she didn't sing, to say the least. All that and more coming up on WGN Radio. And now it's my turn to not wonder why something works. Often Adam will be stuck there and he'll say, computer's just not doing anything. Well, there I was right with him. But here we go.
Solitude can bring.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Well, Diane in Chicago, I think, wanted the Tommy Dorsey version of that. But the late Scotty loved the Flamingos, and that was one of his favorites. Music Maestro, Please, 1959 on End. It was an album cut from Flamingo Serenade. All right, so Cindy's going to tell us about the cat. All right, let's hear it.
Well, at first, I just wanted to say Roots in My Hospital is being taken over by a private equity company, and that it lost $2 billion in 2023. I think it was $2 billion. And my doctor left. She went to, I don't know what, she was like having problems over there. She was there for 25, 30 years.
Well, this is a serious topic, so we're not going there.
Oh, all right. Okay, I don't know. But she went to North Shore. I lost my doctor. But then anyhow, and then the other thing that happened is that Friends character was a subject to medical fraud and died. That story came out today.
Well, right, that's on the news, and that's Matthew Perry you're talking about, and you can hear that everywhere else. So here we want to hear about the cat. Get to the cat.
Oh, okay. Well, the cat. Well, just as a background, I was prepared that I was going to have to put him to sleep, but it didn't happen. It turned out okay.
Good.
Everything's okay. So I can't believe. Because my history with either family members or pets, I take them to the vet and they're gone. I take them to the vet or the hospital or whatever. They're just, there's no luck. They're just gone. So I was like, I already had a new cat lined up possibly.
Oh, geez. You haven't even said goodbye to this cat. You don't line up the next one. That's no respect.
Well, I had to because I'm going to cry myself sick over, you know, for a week.
Uh-huh.
So anyhow, but and the cat, you know, and I just figure another cat needs a place right away, and that's what I.
All right, so everything worked out then.
Well, what happened with the cat? Okay, the history. Like about 2 years ago, he weighed like 19 pounds. And the doctor said, well, science diet, Hillbrand diet food. So I had him on diet food, and he's getting thinner and thinner. And finally today, I was like, ooh, he jumped on my bed, and I'm like, he's real bony. So I'm like, he's got to go today. And I just had a sick feeling. And I'm like, Mike, did you notice he lost? And he's like, for the last 3 days when I picked him up, he seemed like he lost more. So then, and then the vet was all backed up today. And then I kept calling, and then around maybe 2:45, they had a reprieve, and so then the cat went under the bed and went to sleep, and I'm like, you know, I'm thinking to myself, dear God, he's got to go today. So he came out, I got him, I got him in the cage, took him to the vet, I don't know if it's because he knows he has mommy and Mike all the time, he doesn't cry anymore in the cage, in the car, he just didn't even cry. So then, you know, we get in there and they give, you know, I'm like, well, you've got to give him the blood test. And this vet is, he's such an excellent vet, and he's real honest. And now a blood test, a simple blood, you know, like it's a blood work for the cat is like $300 nowadays. So, I mean, that was, you know, that's, you know, a lot, I guess. So. But anyhow, he tries to keep his prices really low. He's just a really good vet.
All right, let's cut to the chase. Cat is fine.
Well, anyhow, so he has a hyperthyroid problem, and he lost.
Okay.
I guess it was a coincidence. So he took the medicine I gave, and then the other thing that happened was.
Wait. I'm a little confused here. They diagnosed a hyperthyroid problem without doing a blood test?
No, they did the blood
test. All right. They did the blood test. So you're out the $300 for the blood test. And what you found out was that the cat has an overactive thyroid gland.
Right. And I thought he was going on 13. He's going on 15.
How do they know that?
Well, I had... From his birth.
Oh, okay. All right. Right. So. Okay. All right. Because I was going to say the blood work's not going to tell him that. All right.
So then, anyhow, and also his kidneys, he has to go on low protein food. And I called the library, you know, and they said that the thyroid medicine will help the kidneys, blood flow to the kidneys, and that should. Be more normal.
All right. Well, you'll see.
And then the thing is, I told the doctor, well, God is going to have to help me. I'm just going to have to do it. I have no talent for giving a cat a pill. I just don't. And I'm just going to have to, you know, I'm like, God, I'm just going to have to do it.
Well,
I mean,
God and something to wrap the pill in. You know, for dogs, peanut butter works wonders. Now, I don't know what it is that a cat might like, but there's something that is absolutely irresistible to cats. So find out what that is and wrap the pill in it and hope he doesn't spit it out.
No, I didn't have to. I mean, it was a miracle.
Oh, all right.
I put the cat on Mike's lap in the recliner. Grabbed him by the back of the neck and put the half a pill in his mouth, and that was it.
All right, we're gonna have to teach you the wonder of brevity. Most of the details we're not going to need. So the cat is fine at the moment. The cat is medicated and is fine, and he's taking the medication, and you're home and all is well.
And then he went to sleep, and then I watched him eat. He ate a lot of the food. He drank a lot of the water, and I'm just going to watch him for a couple days.
There you go. Gives you something to do. Watch the cat.
So now my baby didn't get put to sleep. It's just, I can't believe it.
Well, ye of little faith.
I guess so.
I'm glad to hear the cat is. Yeah, I'm glad the cat is with you and is tolerating the medicine, and hopefully it'll be another many years that you and the cat will be together.
Pray to God. I hope so.
All right. Good deal. It ended well then. Thanks, Cindy. Appreciate it.
Yes, it did.
All right.
Thank you.
Good day.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. So that's happily ever after there. Well, at least for the time being, until the next crisis. So hopefully the cat is adapting with, well, whatever. Charlotte in Illinois, welcome to WGN Radio.
Thank you very much. I have the name of a singer that used to sing for several actresses in movies, and I wondered if you could look her up on the internet and find out what actresses she sang for. Her name is Marnie Nixon.
Oh, everybody. Yeah, she sung for everybody. She was Deborah Kerr in The King and I, Natalie Wood in West Side Story, Audrey Hepburn in My Fair Lady. I mean, she dubbed over 100 songs. So she was born in the L.A. area in 1930 in Altadena, actually, and died about 8-9 years ago, I think. I'm doing this from memory, but I know who Marnie Nixon was very well. And so she was a child actress originally, and she played the violin, and she began singing and all that. But like a lot of people, it wasn't what she was doing in front of the camera that mattered as much as how well she could sing behind it. And I think it started in the 40s. She was the voices of all the angels heard by Ingrid Bergman and Joan of Arc. And she did everybody. You know, Marilyn Monroe, High Notes and Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend. That's Marnie.
Oh, my goodness.
Right. Let's see. She sang for Ida Lupino. She actually was a Broadway performer as well, so she had her own stuff. But the deal was she sang for so many famous people, like I say, Deborah Kerr in The King and I. And actually, that movie broke convention because it credited her as singing. Normally, the behind-the-scenes singers don't get any credit for it. Their voices are just dubbed in, and that's it. But in The King and I, she gets credit. She sung for Sophia Loren. She sung for Janet Leigh. I mean, you know, we could go on all night as far as that.
You're like the internet.
She was
saving us a lot of work.
she was an LA gal, and interestingly, God. I think that it's online, but she was on to Tell the Truth, and she stumped a couple panel members. But I'm pretty sure you can find that. But, you know, there was less of her in front of the camera. Well, there was some. She was on screen as Sister Sophia in The Sound of Music. These are not big things. But, you know, the big thing, like in Jack and the Beanstalk, she was Princess Serena. Behind the scenes, she sang. She was a soloist with the New York Philharmonic. And she has given recitals at places like Carnegie Hall. So she's the real deal. She was teaching at CalArts in Montecito for a while. And I'm trying to think of what else. Oh, I do remember. She was in Seattle for a while. And Seattle used to have the best kids shows. And most of them were on King. But on Como, she had a kids show called Boomerang on TV4. I remember that. And so... oh, gosh, on and on.
Wow.
And you know, she
was so busy.
Oh, absolutely. No, this is, this is, and, you know, even as she was, you know, coming close to the end, she was doing things, I think, up till about 2009. And the first time she got married to the guy who composed the theme song to Exodus. And one of her kids was Andrew Gold, the singer. And then she's married to Fritz. I forget Fritz's last name. But anyway, then somebody else who played something or other. But so she had survived breast cancer, and then sadly it recurred and she died. And I think she was about over 85 when she died.
Uh-huh.
So,
my goodness, I never expected to find all this out when I picked up the telephone.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure it's all available, and there's a lot more. I mean, you know, that's just the high notes, but there's a lot more to this woman. And You know, so, and believe me, she was well paid for all this, trust me. She did well.
Yeah, okay. Well, I sure enjoy your show.
Well, it's great to have you. Thanks for calling, and do it again.
Okay.
All right, appreciate it.
Bye for now.
All right, so she wasn't born as Marnie, I don't think. I think it was Margaret originally, but or Nixon was her middle name or something. I don't remember her last name, but it was something else. Anyway, 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And all right, Andrew in Chicago, update on job search 2024. What's up?
Well, first of all, be grateful that I do not have a cat.
Yeah, well, it's probably good I don't have anything at this point. It's hard enough taking care of myself.
Yeah, so job is still doing well, knock on wood.
Good.
I've been...
Good.
As of August 15th, clean for 4 months. And on the 20th will be my 33rd birthday.
Well, congratulations and happy, happy.
Thank you. The problem still, you know, with the job, the housing thing is pretty much the same. We have the money, not the credit score. We're getting better at finding places that aren't picky about it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we're still hanging in there. When you were talking about Marnie,
yeah.
Well, first of all, it was great. When Cindy was calling and just trying to figure out that one song,
yeah.
It immediately came to mind was, I Have a Paper Doll to Call My Own. And
right.
When that last caller called, I knew she was going to talk about Marnie Nixon.
Okay.
When she was trying to ask you who that person was.
Okay.
But, and just amazed that at 33, basically, I actually know that. Those kind of songs.
Oh, sure. And well, the Paper Doll was the Mills Brothers. That was a big hit in the mid-50s.
Yeah. So about Marnie Nixon, I heard before that when she would sing for the stars, she would actually, like, they would just mix in, like, the high notes or whatever. How would they do that?
In some cases, that was, obviously that's good editing, you know, as far as that goes. But in other cases, it was her. I know in West Side Story, what's her name? I can't think of her name right now. The one who was married to RJ. Natalie Wood. Anyway, Natalie Wood thought that she was going to sing all the songs, and it turned out that no, the studio actually kept Marnie's versions of it, and they kept it a secret from Wood till the end. Wood sang on film, but then in post-production, they dubbed in Marnie. And
that's basically the plot of Singing in the Rain.
Yeah. Well, so that was the deal. And she got some royalties from that, but there was some court case about it to make sure that future, if you want to call them ghost singers, but you know, future stand-ins did get royalties, but not at first. Anyway, that was she's done so much. But yeah, it's the marvel of post production how they do that.
Yeah, I as much as I talk about how versatile, you know, pre digital was, you know, because I've always say, you know, that digital at the basics is a simulation of analog, but at the same time, you know, I also underestimate the analog.
It required a lot more creativity, that's for sure, and a lot more dedication. It would certainly take a lot longer, but you'd be surprised at the effects you could produce in analog if you were willing to be patient.
Yeah. Do you remember a video process called Scanimate?
Yeah, but I'm not a video person at all.
Yeah, I know that, but
Scanimate, it was... But this is analog computer animation, and I think that this is the 70s they used it, and it was Animac that first did it, then Scanimate was used, including in some television. So yeah, I'm aware of it, but it doesn't hold any interest for me.
Yeah, well, Hitchcock used it in Vertigo in 1958. Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of people. Well, he probably used Animac, and that actually was the predecessor to Scanimate. But regardless, the technology is interesting, and for those who have any interest in the visual medium, it's fascinating. But I have zero.
Yeah. I just wanted to call in, check in, and tell you guys I'm doing all right.
Good, good, and hopefully
you guys are like a big old family to me. Other listeners who call in.
Well, we're pulling for you, and hopefully next call you'll find a place where they'll actually. You know, it's tough because you're saying, "Hey, we've got the rent, we just don't have the credit." There's got to be something, and I know you've probably exhausted all of the different social services angles on this.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Just unfair, but.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Anyway, wait, one more quick question. When did they even start, you know, obsessing over credit scores for rent?
Okay, here's an interesting thing. Let me try to, I don't remember if I took a break this half hour, so I got to ask Adam that other. Okay, so I got to go to the news, and I'll tell you after the news about the beautiful history of credit scores. Don't go away, and we'll pick it up right here on WGN Radio.
I'm going to buy a paper doll that I can call my own. A doll that other fellows cannot steal. And then the flirty, flirty guys with their flirty, flirty eyes, we'll have to flirt with dollies that are real. When I come home at night, she will be waiting. She'll be the truest doll in all this world. I'd rather have a paper doll to call my own then have a fickle-minded real-life girl. I guess I had a million dolls or more. I guess I played the dog game for and all. I just quarreled with Sue. That's why I'm blue. She's gone away and left me just like all dolls do. I'll tell you boys, it's tough to be alone. And it's tough to love a doll that's not your own. I'm through with all of them. I'll never fall again. Say, boy, what you gonna do?
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. So yeah, that was for Cindy. She wanted to hear it. That's the Mills Brothers paper doll indeed. All right, so we're going to talk about the history of credit scores, and we can actually do that. So are you with me, Andrew?
Yep.
All right. The insurance industry used them a lot before American banking and credit cards, but here is the deal. There were a couple of guys, Fair and Isaac, literally, I think it was Bill Fair and Eric Isaac, I don't remember his name. But anyway, it was Fair and Isaac. They were in Menlo Park, and they were working with, because this is 1955, 56, this is rudimentary computers. And they were looking at the idea of coming up with a predictive tool. See, the deal with Fair Isaac, and that's what FICO is, the Fair Isaac score. The deal with this is not so much that it reflects what you have done. It reflects what you're going to do. Well, of course, you can imagine there wasn't an actuary alive that didn't just, you know, go into, I have to clean that up as much as possible, but orgasmic delight, let's say that. All right, so the insurance company used it for years. They were using it originally for, and by the way, the deal with Fair Isaac is that you as the user, if you're the insurance company or now today, let's say you're the credit card issuer, you determine what the benchmarks are. In other words, the score isn't absolute. The score is based upon what you want it to be. So let's say you're a Bank of America, and on your score, you want it to be 35% of how well do you pay your bills, 55% of how much credit do you use, 10% of, you know, those kind of things. In other words, you can set the parameters. The score is very fluid. So anytime someone says, well, I've got your credit score, well, that's your credit score for either one of the three bureaus or your credit score for one of the individual lenders. It's not necessarily the same across the board. All right. So, and again, we're not talking about just reflecting your behavior. We're talking about reflecting how likely you are to pay back in the future. And so that's how it developed. The credit card, you know, originally credit bureaus were local. And, you know, by the 70s, they were starting to be national, and you had things like Thomson Reimer Woolrich, TRW, was doing it, and you know, that became Experian later. But in any event, of course, you know, Equifax, we don't even need to dust that history, but on and on it goes. And so they started using it as the benchmark probably in 1989, probably not before that. But then everybody now wants to know, what's your credit score? Well, I'd like to know who's pulling it and on what are they basing it. They're not all terribly different, but they are somewhat different. So that's the history of it. Everybody wants to get a handle on what you're going to do in the future, and they're not necessarily any more right than Miss Cleo would be. Any questions?
Okay. I heard all that.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, it just seems, you know, so, you know, here's my take on it. You know, occasionally, you know, I lean more towards, you know, pro-business, but this is the case where I think that the pendulum really should be more government regulation on that, because it is indeed hindering a lot of people from being successful. A lot of people like me in this predicament.
Well, see, my feeling is with rights come responsibility. If the government's going to legislate that you can't use a credit score, for instance, that's not going to happen, but let's just for a moment say that it did, then if I'm the landlord and I have to accept you and I cannot use any predictive tool to see if you're going to pay, and I cannot screen you out because I believe you won't pay, then I expect the government to pay me back if you don't.
You have a point there, and of course it's definitely up to the landlord, you know, if it's a crap credit score, you know, because the government won't force a bad landlord or one who, well, won't force, shouldn't force a landlord to, you know, give me an apartment.
Well,
you know?
Unless. Now, there are some landlords who are involved in various government programs, like Section 8 landlords, things of this nature. If a landlord, a private landlord, wants to engage in a public program, then all bets are off on what the public program is going to require. But just on a private transaction, no, the government can't be involved in that.
Yes, evidently it's doing what it's supposed to do.
Yeah, and so, you know, and again, there's so many facets of that, but this would border on a very serious topic, which I don't want to have. So we're not going to go there. But that's the history. The bottom line is everybody wants to predict the future. And like I say, insurance companies, man, actuaries, they just melt at the thought that they can. Well, of course, it's no different than, you know, going to the casino. It's like legalized gambling. You know, they're betting, in fact, one way, and you're betting another way.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, it's all it is.
Anyway, I got to get to bed. Have a great night, okay?
All right, sleep well. Appreciate it. Thanks. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888-Raleigh. All right, we played one of Johnny D's requests so far. You heard Heart of Rock and Roll. What else you need?
Well, hi, Raleigh. How you doing, old timer? That's what I was going to say.
How's the mouth? How are you feeling?
I don't know. How do I sound, okay?
You sound fine, but are you not in pain?
You know what, Roland? I couldn't believe it. It's like overnight, that night I talked to you when I had just had it pulled.
Yes.
And the following morning, I'm good.
Excellent.
You know?
So
I healed overnight.
Excellent. Let's not question the good things. Keep it going.
Yeah, it's amazing.
All right.
You know, but no, that's part of the reason why I called, because your first caller, right? if you recall, said something about you being so patient. You had a guy call you about having his tooth pulled out. And she was referring to me, I believe. Remember that?
Vaguely.
Well, been, I remember.
It's been so long ago now. Yeah, well.
What?
I said, it's been so long ago now. I've done so much in the last hour and a half.
Well, you know, that woman, you know, I was making it sound like that.
All right.
You know, I was like, geez, ridiculous for calling and telling you about my getting my tooth pulled out. But
and the good news is,
it was important to me.
Yes, it was. And I respect that. It was absolutely important to you.
Right.
Did you keep the tooth?
Well, anyhow.
Did you keep it?
I mean, I ain't got no sciatica.
Yeah,
but I did send you an email with remedies for that. I don't know if you got it.
I don't know. I haven't seen that yet. I did see your request, and I played one of them so far, and hopefully I'll get to the other one.
All right. The Heart of Rock and Roll is still beating.
I played that.
In Cleveland.
Yeah, I played that.
Remember that? Yeah, you played the Heart of Rock. But did you? Are you going to play?
I Want a New Drug.
I Want a New Drug.
Probably at
one
the
end. One that won't make me sick.
Probably
one that won't make me crash my car.
Yeah.
I'll make me feel 3 feet thick.
Yeah.
You going to play that?
Planning to do it before the end of the night.
All right, good. Now, tonight, with Cindy, okay? Cindy, remember how I said that people say things and then these songs come to mind, you know?
Oh, gosh, yes.
So Cindy said the phrase in her conversation. She said 2:45 in her conversation. So then I'm thinking, a lot of these songs were songs my dad used to sing, you know, I remember them. But you know that. So it's 2:45, no one in the place knows.
One for my baby. Actually,
so could you play that?
Yes, I'll be happy to. I was afraid you were going to ask me to play 2:45 by Gary U.S. Bonds. All right.
I don't even know that.
That
song.
Was a very big rock. That was a very big rock and roll hit. Huge.
Really?
You don't know 2:45. No, wait. Yeah, and the Church Street Five and all that. You don't know this. This was big. All right. You will. It's Gary U.S. Bonds. I know you will know it. 1961, recorded in Norfolk, Frank Guido's studio, and it was released. Gary U.S. Bonds. Yeah, Frank Guido. He had a studio, Le Grand and SPQR. All right. Here we go. Got to remember that.
Well, yeah, I don't remember it. I mean, it's pretty good.
It was a huge hit in 1961.
From that year, maybe is Gene Pitney. Gone Without Pity.
Well, well, 2:45 was a huge record, and Frank Guida was his name, actually, Guida. Frank Guida.
I was 9 years old, I think.
Well, he discovered Gary U.S. Bonds, and of course, that was sax man Gene Daddy G. Barge playing on that. And he was a real deal. He was born in Palermo, and he came to New York City, and he wound up in Norfolk, of all things. And he was in the Second World War.
Palermo, Sicily?
Yes. He's Sicilian. That's absolutely okay. Right. He was stationed in Trinidad during the war and then got really heavily involved in loving calypso. And he moved and opened a record store in Norfolk in like 1953. And other than Gary U.S. Bonds, you'll remember his other famous act was Jimmy Soul, If You Want to Be Happy for the Rest of Your Life, Get an Ugly Woman to Be Your... Yeah, that thing. That
oh, was, yeah, I remember that. Yeah, well, that I
was,
remember that.
Right. Well, before that was in fact Gary U.S. Bonds, who was huge. So I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, I know. Well, don't tell me anything.
All right.
You don't know much.
Yeah,
right. But anyway, listen, I got a couple other song requests, okay? Because
I don't know.
I don't know. Tonight you were playing things that are like ancient or something. But anyhow, I was thinking the first two records that I used to listen to when I was about 5 or 6 years old.
You got to be quick because I got to get to Wonderful Walter's perspective.
Born on a mountaintop of Tennessee, killed himself a bar when he was only 3. Davy Crockett.
All right, what's the other one? I don't know if we're going to continue this horrible thing.
The other one, how much is that dog?
Absolutely not. All right, but thank you. Absolutely not. All right,
well,
good deal.
How about Davy Crockett?
I doubt it, but you'll at least hear a new drug, and that's 2 in 1 night. Don't be greedy. I'm glad you're feeling better, and I'll talk to you soon. All right, now.
Thank you, bye-bye.
It's time. The time has come. The moment you've been waiting for. I know you're all at Twitter. It's time for Walter's Perspective, sponsored by HearingHealthCenter.com.
The other day, I saw you with another guy.
Yes, you do. Yes. So much confusion.
Day, I saw you with another man.
Disillusion.
So much confusion. Tried to deceive me, baby, in a way that you can.
Disillusion. So
I can't stand the way you do. Come on, love me like it's true. I'm just a loser. So much confusion.
Baby.
WGN Radio. I'm running out of time. That's the Tams. I'll tell you more about them later on WGN Radio.
I've been lonely for so long. Don't seem like happiness will come along. I've been lonely for so long. Seem like happiness will come along. These ain't rain clouds over my head. Everybody's throwing rocks in my bed. Just can't seem to get ahead in life. Ooh, nothing I do ever turn out right.
Won't somebody help me, please?
So underrated. Turns 80 today. Happy birthday to Frederick Knight, who is still with us. Born in 1944 in Birmingham. And of course, that was his big hit. I've Been Lonely for So Long, or the closest he got to a big hit. That was just a fine record all the way around, as far as I was concerned anyway. But he also did a number of writing things as well, including Ring My Bell for Nita Ward. Yeah, I think he produced that too. All right, so happy birthday to Frederick. All right, so 888-876-5593. 8888 Raleigh. And yeah, I played the Tams before, but ran out of time to tell you why, other than, of course, I like the Tams. And that was, of course, Disillusioned, one of my favorite Tams records. And Disillusioned was not one of their big hits. Okay, they didn't have big hits, but they still were beach music royalty all the way around. And Floyd Ashton of the group is 91 this week, today, born in 1933 in Atlanta. Sadly, both Joe Pope and Charles Pope, yeah, Joe Pope with that very identifiable voice, he left us in 1996, and Charles in 2013. But still performing with the group is Lil Red, who is Charles Pope's son, as well as Robert Lee Smith and Horace Key. So yes, it wouldn't be beach music without the Tams. So 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh, and Barb is in Yorkville. Hello, Barb. Are you still with us, Barb? Oh, we lost Barb. She was going to talk about Rita Moreno. Hopefully she will call us on another night. Sorry it took us so long. And we'll see if Eduardo is still hanging out there. You with us, Eduardo?
Oh, yeah. I'm awake.
Okay, good. Yeah. Good.
I was going to talk about gold. I just thought about this evening. I was thinking, you know, with the jewelry heist and CATA converters, I'm thinking, are they doing it because they see that the price of gold is high? What do you think about that?
No, I don't think so as far as that goes. It's interesting. You mentioned converters and stuff. Usually that was platinum, and platinum continues to be incredibly low, as you probably know. You know, the problem with gold prices is there's more gold traded every day than there is gold in the planet. So gold, as far as COMEX, you know, exists in many tradable forms on paper. And unfortunately, that dramatically will affect the price. Currently, spot gold's about, $24.50 right now, thereabouts. And that's nice, but I guarantee you, if there was no COMEX market and if we weren't selling it on paper, it'd probably be closer to $10,000. Because, of course, traditionally, you would say that gold prices rise when a currency is questionable, to say the least. But anymore, as I say, that's usually people very often buy gold as a hedge. That's not the reason to buy gold anymore. And I'm a big believer in gold, by the way, if you buy the actual metal. You know, I don't want to hear about it in an IRA, and I don't want to hear about anybody else taking control of it. You've got to have it in your hand to hold for it to work for you if you're buying it, in case everything goes to hell in a handbasket. Because if everything goes to hell in a handbasket, gold will have value. It has intrinsic value into itself, which our currency does not have, because it's not backed by gold or anything else other than the government's promise to pay. So I believe in gold, but I think people who were buying it as an investment thinking, oh, it's going to go way up. No, anymore, because of the way it's traded on COMEX, you can't bet on that. At least I wouldn't bet on that. The value is it'll never be worthless, but whether it'll really go through the roof at any time, you know, again, with this much speculative trading, it's anybody's guess.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I always wondered if that was a good idea to invest in gold.
If you have the metal.
Yeah.
Because, again, it's something that will never be worthless. But, of course, you have to have a wherewithal to be able to do it. You know, I'm not telling people to, like, borrow money to buy gold or anything like that. You know, I mean, if you've got the money and you want to diversify a portfolio, absolutely, I think a percentage of it should be in gold. But you're not doing it because you think it's going to go way up. And a lot of people who sell gold will sell you on that. And the reality is that all bets are off when we're selling more gold every day than exists on the planet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so.
All right. Well, I'll let you get on to some other calls because you're in the final hour here.
Yes, I am.
All right.
The final hour.
All right.
Thanks
for
calling.
Have a good weekend. Yeah, we'll talk next week.
Sounds good. Okay. I look forward to it. All right. So, copper's been doing nicely, and of course we look at that because our radio stations are in the heart of copper country, so we care a lot about that. And when it's over $4 an ounce, I think to myself just a few years ago, who would have ever imagined that? Yeah. All right, Fran and Austin, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh. Well, first of all, I have a couple of requests.
Okay.
Back to a little bit of R&B and soul here.
Yes.
Yeah, I want to hear It's All Right, the Impressions
really
version.
A fine record.
and Oogum Boogum song.
Oh, Brenton, our love, Brenton Wood, yes.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay.
And Mama Didn't Lie.
Oh, Jan Bradley, of course.
Yeah.
Okay. All good choices. Absolutely. All right. Well, if not tonight, so that'll give me something to work on next week.
Okay. And if you have time, I turned the tables on the people that wanted me to have the in-home visit, and
okay,
it worked out wonderfully.
I have all the time in the world. Go for it. Tell me all about it.
Okay. Okay. So I answer the phone, and she starts saying, well, you're due for your annual checkup. We see that we're due for your annual, and so we want to schedule you right away, blah, blah, blah. And I said, wait a minute, back up. What? Because I had just had an annual
physical
checkup from my doctor.
Right.
So I said, I just did that. And so she said, oh, no. And she starts babbling away. Well, in the babbling, very slightly, I can hear her say, in home. I said, wait a minute, back up. And she said, what? I said, what was that you said? What kind of exam, what kind of visit, or what kind of in-home, you know, or I didn't say what kind of in-home, I said, you know, what kind of thing are you wanting me to do here? And, I said, when do you want me to come in?
Yeah.
And that kind of stopped her for a second, and she said, oh, no, this is an in-home visit. I said, oh, well, why do you feel the need to come into my home? Because I was just curious what she would say.
Right, yeah, that's good.
And so she said, well, we just like to check and make sure that everything's okay with you. And I said, I see my doctor every 3 months. I'm fine with that. And so she said something else. I said, I don't want an in-home visit. And she said, well, can I ask you why? And I said, you can ask me, but all I'm going to tell you is that my home is my privacy. And I don't see any reason for you to come into it. So therefore, I don't want a home visit. But when she was starting, when I asked her if it was, the thing I forgot was when I asked her if it was necessary, if my coverage would change if I didn't have it. And she said, well, and she started to go into an explanation. I said, no, it's a yes or no answer.
Exactly.
Because she started to go into this, you know, this whole thing.
Of why it's good and all that.
Know.
Yeah, so I love this. Yes or no. So at that point.
And so I said, no, it's a yes or no answer. That's all you have to do. Yes or no. She says, well, no, but I said, okay, then I don't want it. She started, you know, the but. I didn't even let her get anything out. I said, you know, I don't want it. That's
exactly
it.
Right.
And so, you know, she said she'd write it down. I don't know what to do. I don't know what sucker list I'm on or who sold me to what or what, but I must get at least, the other day I've counted 30 of them in one day.
Mm-hmm.
Of, you know, calls that I had no idea what they are. You know, what I do now is I put my phone on Do Not Disturb.
Of course.
I do not answer my phone. I check my messages. I have certain people that can come through, you know, like Gary can come through or, you know, here's my close friends. And that's it. If anybody else needs to talk to me, they can leave me a message. That is it. I have had it. But I don't know what kind of I thought about changing my number, and Gary said, well, that won't do you any good because you're going to the same doctors, and you'll go to the same doctors that are selling your information.
Yeah.
And
what I did many, many years ago is I have a number that's given out for every purpose. That number doesn't ring here, but the voicemail will come to my email, and I can filter through it.
Oh, okay.
There's no number that I answer that is in any database whatsoever.
Yeah, because they have a setting on here that I can set it to only have people that are on my contact list be able to get through.
But the problem with that is that if we get a delivery or something like that and they need to call us, they won't be able to get through.
Well, and that's, but that's an interesting problem, too, because deliveries can sell your number. You know, there's all sorts of ways your number can be sold. So I actually use multiple numbers, and because, you know, with VOIP, it's so cheap that no reason not to have a few dozen. But be aware that anytime you're giving out that number to any third party, you've lost control of it.
Well, the thing that really makes it, because most of them have something to do with medical, is it the last name, something about my diabetes or about my back pain.
It probably, and that wouldn't surprise me that all of it was related that way. And if you ever answer a call, you can say, I do not want to hear from you again. Cease and desist. You are violating my HIPAA rights. I don't know how you got a hold of me, but I plan to sue you.
Okay, I will remember that.
Yeah, HIPAA is the magic word because most of the time when you say, I'm going to sue you, they don't care. What they don't want to do is fill out 32 pages of HIPAA.
No, I can imagine that.
So that's what you say. You're violating my HIPAA rights. Start with that.
The other thing is, it's interesting because, like, during COVID, they kept sending me these COVID tests. I told them I didn't want them. They'd send them to me anyway. These things cost, a friend of mine was looking at the mail, and she was telling me how much they cost Medicare and Medicaid to send those.
Oh, I know. Now, I tell you, I would have loved those tests.
And they're outdated. They were outdated.
Oh, well, that is a problem. And yeah, they were having a problem with that outdated, and that's just dead wrong. But in general, when they had the signups for the free tests or whatever, well, because nothing is in my name as an individual. Every address that the post office knows about is considered to be a business. They wouldn't send me the tests. I had to buy the damn tests. Yeah, and I thought, well, all right. Yeah, the post office would not verify that an individual was involved with any address that was mine.
And, of course, I told them. I don't even know why I bothered to tell them. I said, I can't access them. You don't need to send them to me. I can't access them.
Right.
And what? You know, I mean, they could barely understand English.
Of course.
How do I expect them to understand I can't access this?
Right. No, I would just throw out the HIPAA word first and then say cease and desist. Do not call me again.
Okay, you know, I'll try that. I'm getting so fed up.
Oh, yeah.
At least 30 calls a day. I mean, it's just, I don't know. As I say, I don't know what sucker list they've got
on. But are you on any program, any federal program that in any way gives you benefits?
Medicaid.
Yeah, well, I worry about that. You know,
I'm on Medicare and Medicaid.
Yeah, and I just wonder with regard to Medicaid, if, you know, like you mentioned diabetes or whatever, if it picks up supplies, they may actually be, and you could try and find out, but good luck if you're suing the government, you can't, you know. But that my first thought is you're in a database somewhere and that database is being sold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, I thought, well, it must not be because they're defrauding Medicaid.
Well,
they're
actually the thing with the outdated test was a huge, huge problem, and that was that absolutely was fraud. And I know some people have hung for it, and other things I think are still out there. But for the most part, most of these people aren't engaging in fraud, but they absolutely want to mine that database to represent themselves in ways that they aren't, to get you to sign up for things that you shouldn't.
Right, like the genetic testing.
I know. And I do look at those Medicare, statements when they send it, we paid for this, this, and this. And I have caught a few of them. Like, supposedly a pharmacy in Houston had provided tests for us. Well, no, they actually didn't. And so I turn them in when I have the time. And they actually do go after them. One of the big things is with durable medical, with DME, the scam is that normally, let's say you're being provided with an aid like a wheelchair. The payments are for a year. And after that, you as the patient own it. And so let's say Medicare or Medicaid would pay like $50 a month, but after a year, it's yours. Well, a lot of these companies don't stop billing after a year. They continue to bill until Medicare cuts them off. And I remember this very well from, you know, 40 years ago when my adopted mom was still alive and I used to do all of her bills and stuff like that. And I called one of them and I said, you know, I'm going to turn you in. Well, I don't understand why it doesn't cost you a dime. I said, well, it does as a taxpayer. But he said,
Of course, I didn't think of that.
Right. He said, well, our policy is just to bill until Medicare won't pay. And I said, well, that's known as fraud, so get ready for the paperwork. And I just hung up and and filed on him. So yeah, some will pull that. Now, I don't know this, like I say, 40 years later, they may be, Medicare may be better at catching that. I don't know, but it was something that I saw, I don't know, a Walker or something, but it was like they were still billing 2 years in. I thought, this is interesting. So, yeah. Yeah, so it's unfortunate. And they talk about supposedly your medical is most secure. Well, unfortunately, it is the most likely way you're going to wind up with identity theft and other type of fraud. It's the loosest databases right out there. I wish it wasn't, but it is.
Unfortunately, and I think of, you know, I consider myself to be a fairly intelligent person, but it's, you know, a couple of times I almost got. Wait a minute, no, slow down. This doesn't, you know.
Well, right. No, well, the rule of thumb is if they contact you, contact you, no interest. You know, you contact anybody you want to contact. You don't listen to anybody who contacts you.
Yeah, like if they say they're Medicare, I just don't. No. Medicare does not contact me. Goodbye.
Well, again, I told you the best thing there is to easily say, oh, good,
yeah,
I'm so glad you called.
I haven't had one of those. Yeah. I want to try that.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to work like a charm. All right.
Well, this other one sure did. It was kind of fun.
Good. Excellent. All right. Well, good for you. See, consider it. Don't let it bother you. Just consider it a form of entertainment.
Yeah, that's what I said. It was fun.
Yeah. Good. All right. Talk to you soon.
All right.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Yeah, yeah. Medicare will not call you. The IRS will not call you. Social Security will not call you. If you've ever tried to call any of these entities and how long you're on hold, you know they will not call you. All right, 888-876-5593. Another half hour with you, with Tubby, well, let's talk to Fran. So there's a line available for you as we speak. 888-ROLLYE on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, Huey Lewis, and the news, and that was Johnny D's other request. Yeah, so there you have it. As far as the other songs he requested today, well, he may be waiting a while on Davy Crockett or what, or I Want a Doggy in the Window, but at least he got some nice Huey Lewis. And that's as far as we're going to go on that. Tubby in Chicago, welcome to WGN Radio.
Wally?
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Can't complain.
You feel better?
Not better than Monday, but that's about it.
Day three.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you just have patience. You get over whatever it is. I missed that part. I come in from work, and I come to the middle of the show, so I'm going to start with the bumper stumper thing.
Yeah.
First I got the phone. Somebody hooked up this new phone that I told you I had to go out and buy a plug to even charge it.
Yeah.
Anyway, somebody came today, bless their little souls. I'm 72, and I'm not caught up yet with the technology. And I really like, you know, it's just like when I'm listening to somebody speak on your show or watch a TV show, I like to be able to put in there when you're looking something up the name, so the next day you can, well, you go to the library or whatever, you can go and do the work later, but at least you have the name down.
Yeah.
And free phone I had, oh, God, I was hoping it didn't go out. And I wanted to call you earlier in the week, but I didn't want to use up the stuff because then I can't even make a phone call.
Exactly.
Okay, that's number one. Number two, when I came in, it's just like you had this music playing. I was like, where is this coming from? Who is this person? Well, I just want you to know the joy, not just for myself, but there are a lot of people out here that just, I come home to my four walls and it's as illustrious as my history has been, and God put really good people in my life. You know, it's not like I come in, there's somebody here, my boyfriend's in the nursing home, so it's not like I come home and, you know, just fool around, cook or whatever. But a lot of people are. They're just, you know, and your show is just great because there's all kinds of people sharing their stuff. And I want all y'all folks out there to know that everybody's important. Your life is just as important as the next one. And you have something to say. You got gifts in you. You don't even know you have.
Agreed.
So keep on sharing that.
Yeah.
Okay, now what else have I got? Okay, that check thing you were talking about one time. Fill out this check and don't, what do you do, sign it or don't put no money amount or something like that and put it in a box and put it away? You remember what I'm talking about?
Oh, no. Tell me about this.
You were right. You said right there. It had something to do with something else, but because I get part of the show. You were talking about how the person, you write out the
The prosperity checks. Yes. Okay. Here is the deal. The universe will always listen to you when you are asking for abundance, but they're more keenly attuned at the time of the new moon, not the full moon, but the new moon. So if you, right before the new moon happens, if you write a prosperity check, it's not a real check, just a yellow piece of paper is fine. I don't know why yellow is good, but it can be anything. And you just write it like it's a check. Now you don't date it and you don't put in the amount. You just put in your name. And in the amount line, you put paid in full. And then in the signature line, you put law of abundance. And then you keep it. And very often you'll find abundance comes to you. Now, it may not be money or that. It might be health. It might be something that's not material, but it may be something material. And it's just, you know, it's kind of like an old wives' tale, but a lot of people believe in it. So I always give out when the next new moon is going to be.
Right, and I noticed somebody looked that up for me, the whole thing about this is a special new moon.
Well, this is a full moon that's coming up, the one on the 19th, on Monday. That's a full moon. It's not a new moon. But a lot of people are looking at this. A lot of people are looking at this full moon for a number of reasons, including astrological reasons, because the sun and the moon, whenever there's a full moon, the sun and the moon oppose each other. Well, in this case, the sun is conjunction with Mercury, so Mercury is also opposing the moon. Now, both of those are squaring Uranus, and so that's known as a T-square. And of course, the fact that the moon is in Aquarius, Uranus is in Taurus, but Uranus rules Aquarius, so a lot of people are expecting all hell to break loose Monday. Will it? Probably not, but that's the theory. Now, at the same time, there's a square going on. Mars and Jupiter are conjunct, and they're squaring Venus. And so a lot of astrologers will tell you that that means something based upon what house this falls in your chart, but I leave it to you if you believe any of that.
Okay. Now, you were talking so fast I couldn't write it down. Okay. Law of Abundance goes on what line?
On the signature line where you normally sign your name.
The other one? The other thing that you fill out?
Yeah, so like on a regular check on the pay to line, like the person you'd be paying it to, you write your name.
Right. So, right. Okay.
And then
it.
On the next line, you just write paid in full, where you'd normally write out like $100 or whatever. You write paid in full. Okay. And then on the bottom line, where you would normally sign the check, you sign it as Law of Abundance.
Okay.
And you don't ever date it, and you don't ever write in an amount.
No amount, okay.
Yeah, no date.
Okay, now one more thing I had down here. Hold on. One day we're going to get to that story about this baseball thing. The music is excellent. I don't know how you all learn all this stuff. But I'm not going to hold you hostage. I'm going to let somebody else talk, because I could talk your pants off all night and everything. Mm-hmm. I got so many stuff. But Riley, the most important thing, I came in, it was like having something. My fan went out.
Ooh.
And then these cheap phones. I told you about the phone.
Yeah.
Okay. So my high school counselor and her husband bought me a brand new phone and sent it to me. This guy looked it up because I do like the internet. And because they're trying to make you do everything on the internet anyway, whether you want to or not.
Yes.
Okay. People don't get that. Okay. And, but it's just a joy. It's a pure, that's the main thing. I come and I say, oh, listen to her, what she playing on the radio. It is just so welcoming to come in. I always get you late, but how long have you been on the air?
Well, at WGN, I've been doing this shift since Labor Day of 2020.
Okay.
But yeah, if you mean how long have I been on the air anywhere, we have to go back to 1967.
Okay, well, that's cool. Yeah, I'm just going to tell you, I've done a lot of stuff, I've been a lot of places, and this is just like really, really cool, because it's just like you come in, it's like, oh, wow, I got something new and exciting to look forward to. I got to get home. It used to be just Kojak. Oh, I got to get home, I want to watch Kojak, and I've watched all the reruns over and over and over.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't blame you. Well, that's great, and of course, the show's better when you call, so call again soon.
I will, Riley. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it. Okay, bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Yeah, show's only as good as you guys. You guys are doing the heavy lifting. I'm just sitting here. Well, we're going to talk to Jim in Richmond in a moment, and that will probably close it out for the night right here on WGN Radio.
Suntan, windblown, honeymooners at last alone, feeling far above par. Oh, how lucky we are, while I give to you and you give to me true love, so on it'll always be true love, true love.
All righty then. I promised Cindy I'd play it. Hopefully she's still awake, and I did. We probably won't be playing again, but nonetheless, it's a throwback, to say the least, all the way back to, Bing Crosby and Grace Kelly, 1956. All right, Cindy, there you go. Yeah, we didn't get to Patsy Cline. We will next week, and we didn't get to Leon Redbone. I do want to play that. And, Steve Bryant was absolutely right that the record we played by Doris Day probably was inspired by the original of that Get Out, Get Under the Moon. So we'll play that next week. But right now we'll talk to Jim in Richmond. How's it going, Jim?
It's going great.
Yay.
The vision went very poor today, but I know we don't have much time. I wanted to tell you my brother argues with all those people that call, and then he gets a phone call, which I knew was a scam because it was on the news the day before, mm-hmm. and it's somebody calling up and says, your Social Security has been canceled.
Yeah, right.
And you're going to have to reapply.
Right.
And he goes, well, I can't talk right now. I'm really busy. Can you call me back in an hour?
Oh, I love
and
it.
They said, okay. So he went right to the Social Security office, which was less than a mile from his house.
I love
and
it.
And then he's sitting in the Social Security office, and he's explaining this to the lady. She goes, no, your Social Security is fine. And, you know, and then they looked up his records to see if anybody hacked it. And he goes, no, that's fine. And then the phone rings. And then he goes, hello. And they said, we're calling back about your Social Security because it's being canceled and you're going to have to. He goes, hold on 1 second. And he hands it to the lady. And she announced herself and her ID number and everything. And she said, this is the Social Security office. Could you please tell me who you are and your ID number?
Yeah.
And they hung up.
Uh-huh.
And then she took the phone number and the Social Security office filed a report. But my brother didn't hear back from them. But I thought that was the greatest thing
oh,
in the
too.
World.
I do, too. That's wonderful.
And as far as my iPhone, I have it set that anything that comes in that's not on my contact list comes up unknown.
Right.
And I don't answer it.
Good.
And I wait for the voicemail. And I get, like, 50, you know, 4 or 5 a day.
Right.
And they don't let it go to voicemail. They hang up.
Right.
So then I just look where it came from, and I get one, New Liberty, Texas. I don't even know where that is, you know. So I don't answer them. And then when they do go to voicemail, I turn around, I listen to them, and then I hit delete, and then it says delete and report, and I hit that.
Right. Good.
You know? And that's what I do with those.
Good.
Don't
trust the places that it says it's coming from, like the area codes or the
right.
cities, because that can be spoofed. They can claim they're anywhere.
And there was one call that I was terribly upset about it, and I went and I actually called the sheriff's department, and I didn't call the 911, but the office, and I sat there, and this is the phone number of the person that, you know, says this and that about me and is harassing me. And they said, oh, we can't do anything. I says, what do you mean? You got the phone number. She goes, yeah, that's gone. You know,
right.
that you can call that phone number forever.
Right.
No one's going to answer.
That's exactly right. You don't have the phone numbers. That's what I mean. They're, you know, I've got a stalker who changes the number. They'll leave maybe 40, 50 messages in a day, and they'll be all
mm-hmm.
different area codes and phone numbers, and none of it's real.
Right.
Yeah,
and that's what I she said, well, I can't make out a report because, you
she,
know,
well, right,
what am I going to say?
That's
you know?
Exactly right. She doesn't know how to make it out. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately.
So.
Yeah. Well, good. Yeah. Good. You're smart. You're doing it right, Jim.
Okay.
All right.
I thank you, and I hope you have a wonderful weekend.
I hope you do, too, and look forward to talking to you next week.
Okay, thank
All right,
you.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
All right, so on that note, that's a wrap. We thank Adam for keeping us in line, did a wonderful job this week. We thank John for screening your calls, always does a wonderful job, by the way. He's been working on getting those prize packages out, maybe a little while longer, but he's working on it. And I thank you for calling because you make the show a pleasure to do. Yeah, nobody wants to listen to me. They want to hear from you, so call me next week as well. Until then, I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.